You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Welcome back. As we continue in Knoxville, Tennessee, we will head out to Oregon in a minute to go to Oregon State and talk to Holly Rowe. First, we have a moment. We can grab a quick call here as we get Holly set up. And John is up first from Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul, thanks for putting me ahead of Holly. I appreciate that. My best stadium experience this year has been over there in Knoxville, and I went to the night games at Notre Dame and Michigan. But Calhoun's, great pregame ambiance, and if you do stay an extra day, go to Chesapeake's for the steak and fish. Just some,
going there tonight.
Some advice. Yeah. By the way, if you're an NFL fan in Ohio, it sucks. Both starting quarterbacks are out for the season.
Burrows, it sucks,
and
to be in Ohio,
Watson,
period.
1 week. I know, right? Hey, I know it won't go over well, but I see probably a 21-point difference on tomorrow's game. But how about Washington, Ohio State? No, yeah, that was a faux pas. How about Washington, Oregon State?
I tell you what, John, speaking of Washington and Oregon State, I will answer that question by allowing Holly Rowe to do that. She's covering the game tomorrow night, and it's always great to say hello to Holly on these Friday afternoons. Holly, good afternoon, and tell us all about this. This is, to me, the sneaky great game of the week.
You know, it is a sneaky great game, and that's because Oregon State is a team that not a lot of people are talking about nationally, who are tremendous defensively. We had a chance to talk to their defensive coaching staff, and they get after the quarterbacks. They pressure quarterbacks. They have 36 sacks, and this is going to be a really interesting game for Washington and Michael Penix. He has had some turnover issues in previous games. Can they impact him and affect him, because he's playing as well as any quarterback in the country right now, but can they force him into some turnovers? It's what Oregon State's done all year, and not a lot of people are talking about them.
And I wonder why, but I mean, I think I do know why, because they play on in the hinterland, so to speak, and they were among the two left out of the Pac-12. But you know this program, you've dug deep, you're out there. Tell us a little bit about what we've been missing.
So people may have remembered a young man named DJ Uiagalelei that was a quarterback at Clemson, and he has transferred to Oregon State and is having a phenomenal year. They are 8-2, and DJ is playing great. I had a chance to visit with him this week, and he is calm. He is in a better place. He is an improved quarterback, and this is kind of an interesting nugget. The coaches said that when DJ got to Oregon State, he had never really called plays and made checks at the line of scrimmage or called plays at the line of scrimmage, even dating back to high school. And so they get him in spring football, and they're asking him to make those calls, make the plays, change things at the line. And he has had to really evolve as a quarterback, and he's done well. He only has 4 turnovers this season. He has improved dramatically. And just talking to the young man, I can tell he's in a really peaceful, good place with his decision to leave Clemson and go to Oregon State. And it has given the Beavers a really big-time quarterback option. But not only that, you know, like I said earlier, I think the Oregon State defense is being very overlooked nationally, and that's the big story, is they are phenomenal.
Holly Rowe joining us from out in Oregon. Holly, last week you were in Athens, of course. You've seen Georgia this year, and we are in Knoxville, and Georgia is coming up here to play Tennessee tomorrow. I'm just curious about your experience down there during that game, what you saw, and your takeaway on the Dogs, a school you're pretty familiar with.
Yeah, I was really pleased with what I saw from Georgia, because I had been one of the, I don't want to say naysayer, but Georgia has had a very easy schedule all season long. And they are now getting into the meat of their schedule where they are facing more ranked opponents. You know, Ole Miss was number 9 in the country, and they dismantled the Rebels. And the things that I saw that stood out to me is Georgia's offensive line is huge. They are active. They are led by their center, Cedric Van Pran, who might be, you know, one of my favorite players in college football. He's a leader. He runs that team. And they are getting better defensively. They still have some deficiencies on defense, but I'll give you one example. They had their best linebacker out of the game with a broken arm, and in his place, C.J. Green had to start, a true freshman, and he was awesome. So, you know, Kirby Smart has some depth. He's able to plug and play some players, and I think Georgia is starting to pick up some steam and some confidence at the most important part of their schedule.
Holly, we saw a little bit of Brock Bowers, but he was used in various ways. What did you learn about him, and just in terms of being close to him, watching him, how ready is he for the grind coming up here in the next few weeks?
So we were able to attend practice on Thursday, and Brock Bowers did everything. He is sprinting down the field. He's turning. He's cutting. At that point, he was just about 24 days removed from a tightrope procedure in his ankle, high ankle sprain. And the thing that I'm just amazed by with Brock is he is like, you know, everybody's sweating. It's a Thursday practice. They're outdoors. Everybody's sweating. Brock Bowers is dripping sweat from everywhere. Like, he doesn't know. He doesn't have a, you know, like a neutral gear. He's like full throttle or not at all. So I just am really obsessed with this kid. I just think he might be the best player in college football when he's healthy. And for them to get him back, and you know, listen, they didn't target him a ton, maybe from a numbers standpoint, but he was blocking on the end of the line. They were a little smart. I don't want to say cautious, but I would say smart with how they brought him back. But I've watched this young man work, and I know that he can give. I think he should be fine throughout the rest of the season, you know, given that he doesn't get another, you know, pile up or twist that ankle.
Holly, off the subject, and I don't. One thing I've never wanted to do is draw you into something you're uncomfortable with. But yesterday was a literal meltdown in the world of sideline reporters, and many of your colleagues and friends spoke out after Clarissa Thompson gave an interview in relation to past, where she said that she fabricated things. She later today clean that up, but aside from her, I just want to ask you about the job that you do. You're recognized as the preeminent person on the sidelines in the country. About the attitude that you take into that every week.
I think that most of us that are sideline reporters have great pride in what we do, and I think the number one thing that I can have and bring as a sideline reporter is for the viewers at home to trust me and trust the information that I am giving. I think I have a high level of respect. I think people know if I say something, then it's true, and I've vetted it, and I have researched it, and I have seen it with my own eyes. So I think that that trust is an important relationship with viewers, and I've spent my whole life, this was my 29th college football season for ESPN, and I take that trust very seriously.
I appreciate your candor, because it's, as you know, it's been one of those situations where everybody has thoughts, and it's important for people to understand. I think everyone does understand with you, but I really wanted everyone to hear you say that. Thank you, Holly, always on these Friday afternoons. I know it's hectic, but we deeply appreciate you making time for us.
Always, Paul. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Holly Rowe, joining us from out in Oregon at Oregon State. We take a break. We're live on Rocky Top.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Today's Gridiron Guest brought to you by Johnsonville. Of course, you know who it is. It's not Roman Harper because we've already seen him, but I got confused because it wasn't you 1 week.
Yeah. I really threw a wrench in our whole segment.
Jordan is always the Gridiron Guest, and then 1 week.
I'm the sausage guy.
I think it was the week that Tess showed up with the
ham.
Yeah,
he upstaged me on that.
But anyway, let's get into this game. And
wait, how often are you hanging on Rodeo Drive?
I used to be out there a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
What for?
I don't want to sound like I had some business out
okay.
there.
Okay.
I was in the middle of a television project.
Oh.
And stop me if you've heard this before.
I don't think I have.
COVID happened.
Oh yes. Crush your dreams.
It's on hold.
It's on hold.
We'll call you.
Okay. We'll call Terry on.
You do. You've done a lot of things in Hollywood.
If you need the extras,
we want to be in the Jordan Rodgers business, but we'll call you.
Call my people. My people will call you.
Yeah, no, but
we'll be begging.
But there's nothing. I can't remember. I think it was not that long ago. I was out there. I stayed at the. I think it was the Beverly Wilshire.
Yeah, you did.
And I was just sitting outside. Nobody was up as early as I was, and just sitting out there on Wilshire Boulevard,
yeah.
Rodeo Drive. It was really cool.
Having a little avocado toast.
I said, Harry, I can't make the meeting.
Not talking to anybody, but people thought you were a big deal, you know?
I just literally, for an hour, talked to myself on the phone.
I do that a lot sometimes. I'll walk around sometimes. If I really just am not in a mood to want to talk to anybody, I'll just...
I want you to do these Tennessee fans a favor.
Uh-oh.
They're down.
Are you guys? Yeah! You're down?
Yeah!
No, they're not down.
Maybe... there was a song from the 70s by Rod Stewart called Reason to Believe.
Uh-huh.
I want you to give them a reason to believe in this game tomorrow.
Well, belief is intrinsic, correct?
So we've already had Tebow here.
So if these fans are going to believe, then they're going to need to pull out the power and the enthusiasm from inside themselves. Because if there's one X factor,
right?
It's the noise. It's the noise. It honestly is. I mean, if you look at Georgia, they've had one true road game outside of Auburn. That was Vandy. And that Auburn game, they struggled. It was 27-20 against a team that was not great.
They struggled.
Right? Not great on the road because it's a hostile environment. So Neyland needs to be rocking tomorrow afternoon. Because when you look at the X's and O's of this, it's not a great matchup. It's really not. I mean, Tennessee came into the Missouri game the number three rushing team in the entire country, and they got punched in the mouth. 83 total
yards. That concerns me.
They
didn't really respond well.
No, not at all. They didn't respond to physicality, and you think you're going to do that against Georgia? I don't see that happening. And all of a sudden, you're not going to have this downfield passing attack that hasn't been there all year when you don't have a run game. It just doesn't happen. So there needs to be chaos. There needs to be turnovers. The noise needs to get to Carson Beck and this Georgia football team in the most significant way, because on paper, it doesn't look good. But crazy you-know-what happens in Neyland Stadium, so you never know. Did I give him hope? I don't know.
Wow. Go ahead and say it. I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing said today.
That's true.
That is really interesting. So from the if you're Kirby Smart, and you're obviously not, but...
thank you.
It always drives me crazy when people say that. This game probably bugs him a little bit because he's been here before. He knows how difficult. So what do you think he's trying to communicate. He's got Georgia Tech next week, and his fans are already talking about Alabama.
Well, the reason he's been able to have the success they've had in back-to-back national championships because they don't look ahead. Yeah. I mean, this is a team that is so ingrained in their minds to only live week to week, and that's so hard to do, especially now. It was hard when I was a kid, college kid, and I didn't have – I mean, Instagram was around, but it wasn't that cool, and there wasn't a TikTok, and you know what I mean? So to have the entire focus – of 18 to 22-year-olds to live week to week as if that's the only thing that matters is such a skill and such an art. There's only a few guys in the country that can do it, and that's why there's only a few programs in the country that can sustain the type of success that Georgia is right now, that Alabama has in the past as well. So I don't think Georgia or Kirby Smart is making this out to be anything more than what it is. The next step in a ladder that starts with the SEC championship and ends with the college football national championship in their mind.
How many times do you think he's reminded the team this week? A year ago, they came in to our place number one in the country.
Yeah. Well, I mean, great coaches like him will find any ammunition as well, right? So absolutely, he's talked about that multiple times and talked about how the fact that, yeah, they maybe want number one now, but the committee in the country didn't believe in them a couple weeks ago, right? They were number two.
Yeah.
So any ammunition, because this is a game that Georgia should win. Again, crazy things can happen here. It is on the road. It is going to be a hostile environment, but keeping that focus is of paramount for Kirby.
Where do you think right now this Tennessee program is?
It's an interesting question because I feel like no matter what happens the rest of the way, even beating Georgia, we'll say, which would be monumental, but they still didn't quite meet expectations. I mean, this was supposed to be a year. It was 10-plus. It was SEC championship. That was what all of us felt like, maybe not a reality, but it's a possibility.
Yeah.
Could have happened, right? And Milton didn't quite pan out the way that I think all of us had hoped and thought with the skill set that he had. So I think it's a Tennessee team that, look, maybe it's down and maybe everyone's down on Tennessee because the expectations were so high. But think about what they were before Josh Heupel got there.
Right.
So I just want to kind of put everything in context. Like, you're in a great spot. You're recruiting at a high level. You have a ton of talent. You still have a young roster at a lot of places. And the one piece that was maybe magical in Hendon Hooker wasn't quite there this year. Maybe that's the difference. But it doesn't mean that you're took this huge step back and there's no way to get out of this hole. I think Heupel's built this for long-term success, and I do believe they will get there.
Not to look past this season, but I will. What do you know about Nico, their next quarterback?
Nico's incredibly talented. So I did the spring game, so I was around Nico a lot. Jordan Palmer's a guy that I know well that has worked with Nico as well. Super talented. He's a student of the game. He is one of those guys that mechanically, I think everyone comes with a few bad habits. He's already changed a lot. He used to have a really wide base. He's gotten much more fundamental and fluid with a lot of his mechanics. Something Jordan Palmer said they were working on, as well as this staff, Halsley as well.
Right.
So I think he's incredibly talented. But again, he's going to be replacing one of the guys that is the most physically gifted. So that's not what it's always about, right? A lot of it has to do with what you got in here. And sometimes you don't know that until you're in the heat of the battle. So I think there's still a lot to be learned about Nico, but I think there's a lot of promise around him as well.
A couple of other subjects. You didn't see it. You did see it, but not you weren't in the stadium because you did the Alabama game last week. I want to ask you about Jaden Daniels' performance last Saturday night. Your crew was there without you.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's just he is the Heisman front runner for me. I don't think it's really that close. And everyone wants to bring up, well, you know, it's usually one of the best players on one of the best teams. Who cares? It's the most outstanding football player. When you watch TV on a Saturday, Jaden Daniels is the most outstanding football player on the field, and I don't think it's close. He's so dynamic with his legs. But people forget, last year, this was a team that couldn't get a lot going through the air. They weren't that explosive through the air. They're one of the most explosive teams in the entire country through the air. More touchdown passes than anybody through the air, let alone what he does with his feet. So, to me, it's Michael Penix has a good chance to push him only because he's going to have a chance to, on a big stage in a championship game, to kind of put a nail in the coffin and throw his hat back into that number one conversation. He'll be in New York. But to me, it's Jaden Daniels' trophy to lose, and I don't think it's that close right now.
You saw Alabama last week. You've seen them a few times this year. Just your takeaway from the progression from the first time you saw them to where they are and what what lies ahead for them.
It's unbelievable. I mean, in talking to Tommy Rees, the amount of changes that this offense went through, and I've said it before, but I was there, I think, Bill O'Brien's second or third game, and I was talking to him on the field, and he was just saying, man, it's really hard for me to get some plays and concepts in that I like. And I'm like, what? Because you know what? You show up and you run Nick Saban's offense. You run Alabama's offense. And so he showed up, and a guy that's been an NFL head coach, a big-time college coach, offensive coordinator, he was having trouble getting plays in. And then you look at this year, the amount of autonomy and power that Nick Saban handed to Tommy Rees in this offense to go build it. Build it around this guy and whatever he needs to do to be successful. That's what they've done. The offense is night and day from what it was against South Florida and Texas to what it is now. And that's what's most dangerous, because we just talked about Jaden Daniels as being the most outstanding player right now. Milroe in the last month, his numbers are up there with anybody in the entire country as well. There's nobody except for maybe him and maybe Michael Penix right now that are playing better than Jalen Milroe.
Great stuff. As always, Jordan Rogers, our Gridiron guest. Thank you, Jordan.
Appreciate it.
We'll take a short break. One of Tennessee's favorite sons will join us next. Grant Furking right here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Inside Neyland. Right down the steps from us here on top of the hill at Ayers Hall on Rocky Top, and we are back here midway through a Friday afternoon. Grant Furking, who is automatic when it comes to us. A year ago we sat with Grant as he was in his final season as a wide receiver on the balls, and now an entrepreneur.
We're 3 for 3 this year. All 3 stops have made an appearance.
Yeah, we were with Grant in Nashville as well. To say you're an entrepreneur, I mean, you were an entrepreneur in the crib, weren't you?
In the crib. That's the first time we've done it in home territory.
Let's talk a little bit about your business, because it's so fascinating. Back in July at Media Days, we had you and Shannon Terry on. And just to watch On3 progress through this football season, it's really been fascinating. I know there's a lot of new things happening.
Yeah, you know, there's not a better time to start a media company in sports than right now. I mean, you look at the headlines, you look at the parity. Shannon mentioned it, and in the off season, he predicted there'd be more parity in college football than there ever was. And look where we are right now. I mean, you have teams that were always in the mix that aren't. You got teams that haven't been in the mix that are in the mix this year. You know, we're getting into coaching carousel season. We're getting into transfer portal season. And, you know, it's been fun. You know, we're 2 years into this venture at On3. And, you know, we're just growing and growing. And one thing that you know, I've been so vocal about that hasn't been necessarily the popular opinion to be in this space is being so for the athlete, being pro-athlete. And that's something that we've clearly taken a stance on at On3, and we're going to continue to do by having athletes come to us and in turn providing value to them in a multitude of ways.
And, I mean, of all weeks, this week really resonated with me on that subject, Graham, because, you know, we hear all this stuff that's going on, and I think, and you would agree, that commissioners, presidents, they have legitimate concerns. There's a lot of toxicity in the courts. There's a lot of danger.
Yeah.
But the idea of trying to cap athletes, what they can make, when we see what we just got through seeing at Texas A&M,
yeah,
it's fairly ludicrous, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, it's really unique to see the people, you know, they got egg on their face now that made all the different arguments when all the A&M headlines were coming out a year ago. You know, the most valuable class in college football history, the price tags that were rumored of what it took to put that class together. And then you see they go and, you know, didn't even make a bowl game last year, right? And so you just see the argument of, you know, it's going to destroy college football, it's ruining, it's this and that. I always made the argument from the get-go when I came on your show July of 21, the day everything took place, that this era was going to work its way out. You know, that's how these things always work out, is you pay someone for a service, you pay someone a fee, you know, and you expect a return on it, you don't get it, they're probably not there anymore. Well, what's the equivalent in college football of that? You getting fired from a job, you hit the transfer portal, you know, and we've seen that over and over again. And I think that argument is starting to get tired. You've seen kind of the NIL space evolve from, you know, kids trying it out and trying to chase after the local business. You've seen the collectives grow and evolve into what they are today. They're not just, you know, a war chest of donors putting their money together. They're actually providing true value for the athletes and, you know, truly providing cool and unique experiences for fans to engage with the athletes and the coaches, right? You've seen now endemic brands in the sports marketing space start to enter into and engage with elite athletes. And, you know, here we are, and there's still people trying to say there needs to be a cap on what athletes can make. How stupid is that? The same people making those arguments that they should be capped. What if I went to say, hey, your salary is going to be capped. When you turn 40 years old, you're not going to make a dollar over X, Y, or Z amount. I guarantee you they wouldn't be making that argument anymore.
Grant, I realize this isn't your job to speak for the leaders, but, I mean, we all know them, and these are smart, learned, to use one of their phrases, thoughtful people. What are they missing that fans are seeing and clearly what you guys are seeing at On3?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have been in this era while being a student athlete.
Right.
You know, I played prior to it, and now I'm involved in the space directly post-career, right? And I think so many of them are missing of kind of the reality, and they're so far away from kind of what's going on in the locker room on a day-to-day basis and what's in the mindset of the athletes. You know, half the people trying to make the employee versus non-employee argument are way off, right? Half the people saying that athletes think this is destroying the locker room are way off because they've never lived in it, or they're sitting there and don't hear from people that have lived in it. You see these Senate hearings that have happened, I think there's been 10 plus now before a committee, and not one current student athlete has sat in that room in any of those conversations. I mean, how far removed from reality do you have to be to have a conversation about what's going on in the current college football climate? Sure, they've had some current student athletes in there, but I'm talking about college football, college basketball, where majority of the dollars are flowing into and where they're saying the problems are within this, they won't even talk to an athlete that's involved in that. I mean, it's crazy. And those are the people that are trying to make the arguments that I would say are so far removed from it.
We're talking to Grant Furking here, played at Tennessee. I want to bring it back to this campus for a minute, Grant, because you've had so many things to say that have really opened my eyes about Josh Heupel and what he has brought to this campus. Take us inside that locker room with Coach Heup. Who is he, and where are we right now with this Tennessee program?
You know, you're continuing the build, right? I mean, you think about from where we were a year ago today, you know, which was year two of the Josh Heupel era here, and here we are a year later in year three of this era. You know, he had to turn around a monster of a program, and he inherited a lot. And what he's been able to do in 3 years is nothing short of incredible. I've heard you make that argument plenty times. But you know what? Here we are in November, and, you know, we reached, you know, seven games, you know, winning seven games at the end of October. When was the last time a Tennessee fan could have heard that? You know, and so you're continuing that build. And look, the conference schedule and what's going on in college football right now, there is no given win any week, especially in this conference, right? And look at the East right now. I mean, look how it's stacked up. Look at the West, how it's stacked up. But, you know, the incredible thing to see is the guys that no matter when you hit adversity, they still come back to work every day and buy in and want to get better and go strap it up every week. There are many years that I've been in this program prior to Josh Heupel's arrival here where you didn't have guys that wanted to do that. The drive to come back to work, to strap it up for another week, maybe when you weren't even bowl eligible.
So
you couldn't get that out of them.
Explain to me the mindset right now down the street. I mean, you just have the worst performance of the year. A game that was tight and it just blew up from a physicality standpoint, from every standpoint. You have the biggest game of the year now. Do you just put that behind you?
You have to.
Fans can't sometimes.
Right.
Commentators don't.
Right.
But you, as a player, do.
As a player, you have to reset. And Hype says that all the time. The game's behind you. You have to reset. You don't have 3 days to soak on it
okay. And
think on it. You have to reset because you know what? You have the number one team in the country coming into Knoxville. And for anyone that can't get up for a game like this as a player, in this conference, at a school like Tennessee, with a fan base like this, with the stage that they're going to play on tomorrow, with the opportunity that they have at stake to go knock off the number one team in the country, you probably shouldn't be here if you can't get up for a right. game like that. And that is all part of the culture that he has built here, that he does have a locker room now that wants to go out and go get a win tomorrow. That, yes, suffered a tough loss, but you know what? We reset, we came together, and are ready to go attack another week. I know that sounds easy to say. That doesn't happen in a lot of locker rooms across the country. You go face adversity like you just did, and you dwell on that for a few days. And so you reset, and you're looking at it's Thursday, and you're already in a walkthrough getting ready to go play your game.
Right.
You know? You have no chance to go succeed like that.
Incredible. I mean, it's a cliche to say, you know, we get smarter when we talk to certain people, but I'm not that smart, but I feel brilliant after talking to you. Because
I feel sitting next to you.
You bring us the locker room, but your perspective on the state of college sports is so unique, and I'm glad you're here, and we'll keep doing this because I'm not trying to legislate from this pulpit, but I really do believe administrators, and I know you talk to them, they just need to listen more to young people who are there right now or who have just been there and understand it.
Absolutely.
So we thank you for that.
Appreciate you as
Grant,
always.
Thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
We'll talk to some veterans of the media business in a minute, not the newbies, but the old-timers as we continue right now. We're on Rocky Top.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back here in Knoxville, and what a great afternoon it has been, and a couple of sports writers. I mean, that's feel like old times with John Adams and Adam Sparks. John, I've known before you were born, Adam.
Is that right?
Pretty close.
I think we covered LSU together.
Yeah.
In my first year, and when you were at the Advocate, and you came here in the mid-'80s, and Knoxville has never been the same since John Adams showed up.
I was in Baton Rouge for 5 years. I guess that's when you were in Birmingham.
Yeah. No, my first job was in Shreveport. I was there about a year, and I covered LSU, and that's where I first met you.
What year were you in Shreveport?
79.
Because, I was in Shreveport in 77 for 7 weeks.
Were you?
And moved to Jackson.
I wish I had been there for 7 weeks.
I was born in 79, so y'all had it right on the money.
Yeah, good call.
And Adam Sparks, who has actually been around longer than I thought, but I was over at the Daily Beacon today talking to some students, and it's just when you give them a comparison about something, they look at you like, I was born in 2003. I go, oh, okay. Well.
So you don't tell them about covering Bear Bryant that much.
John, I wish I had spent more time luxuriating in the moment, because the amount of Bear Bryant stories I have told in my life is endless. Thank goodness I did it, because all of us who were around Bryant, even briefly, we still tell those stories. What about you? Did you spend much time around
Bear? I was not much. I mean, I covered him in events. Like when I was in Jackson, Mississippi, I covered a Alabama-Georgia game.
Yeah.
And I think Alabama won, this was in 77 maybe, the Alabama won 14-7, something like that. And after the game, an Alabama punt returner had muffed the punt, was recovered by Georgia, and we gathered around Bear Bryant there after the game in the locker room. You could go in the locker room back then. And he comes down and sits on a stool. And I'd never been there before with him, but I knew he wasn't that, he didn't talk that loudly.
No.
You know how
no.
he talked. It was kind of a, I can't imitate it. It was kind of a low, And so, so I made a point to situate myself where I'd be able to hear him. So I was right in front of him. And somebody asked him, well, what did you say to so-and-so when he came off the field after he fumbled a punt? And Bear said, well, what would you say to your wife if you walked in the bathroom and she was sitting on the toilet?
Oh, my goodness. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I didn't say anything, he said.
See, I miss this access because I don't think I'm going to be telling Josh Heupel stories in 2050 like
you
this.
You will never be in a locker room.
That is amazing. The first time I covered Bryant, I was in Louisiana, and I was a student at Tennessee, I'm sorry, and we went down there to play. And I put one of those, remember those old cassette tapes?
Sure.
So I put it down. And I just went back, and I on the way home, I started listening to it. I couldn't understand a word. I didn't know what he said. I literally had no idea what he was talking about. He was like, "Well, we're trying to win the football game, and they came down, blah 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 blah."
Well, you also remember Johnny Majors, and so Johnny Majors.
I covered his hiring. I do remember.
Well, I know, but he had an unusual cadence of speech. And I recorded him one time.
He was up and down.
Yeah, and I kept trying to transcribe this quote. It was a good quote, and I just couldn't get it. And finally, I called Kevin Steele, was an assistant coach at the time. He was coaching the secondary.
He translated?
Yeah, I said, Kevin, I think he's saying big orange ogres here. I just
that
want to make
funny.
Sure I get it right. And he said, yeah, whatever will be fine.
He, I feel badly even telling this story. He was such a great man, but he came in 70. He was hired in December 76. First year was 77, and we had some big function. The student, the journalism fraternity, SDX, I guess it is called. Is that right?
Take your word for it.
So they wanted him to speak, and I intervened, and I asked him. So there was some hotel down on the Strip, and. He agreed. He said, sure. So I met him outside. He said, how long we got? I said, Coach Majors, I mean, he said, well, we got a few minutes? I said, sure. So he pulls out a 20. He said, go get me a vodka and grapefruit. I'm not even sure I was old enough to buy a drink at the time. So he said, get yourself one too. And I'm like, I'm going to like this guy. I mean, he was amazing. I mean, you covered him for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, he was there. He was very sociable, much more sociable than a lot of coaches.
The coaches
are.
That came after him.
Well, yeah, and I remember in the SEC spring meetings from years past. I can remember. I go back far enough in the late 70s, early 80s. I would attend that event, and the coaches. It was very fraternal back then. They had a hospitality room at the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And I can still remember Johnny Majors in there with a bunch of other coaches playing cards. And he genuinely enjoyed that, being around other coaches.
Hey, Jamari, let me ask you, because I'm going back to the studio here, because I'm curious. What's our next guest? Oh, okay. Because I've yet to ask you guys a question about this game.
Oh, sorry.
By design, by the way. By design. back then, you would go to, and I heard these stories from Bill Lumpkin, who was my boss.
Oh,
you
knew he had a lot of stories.
And I mean, they would literally, during like the spring meetings in Destin, you think, you know, you've covered it, Adam, many times, and you may see the coaches for a minute. They would go upstairs, and the door was open, and if you were part of the posse, you came in, and these things went on all night, didn't they, John?
They went on very late.
Yeah.
I didn't stay up late. I mean, they were, you know, they had a few pops, and they were playing cards. But I don't think I've ever seen a coach happier than Johnny Majors was in that setting. He really liked
Pre-Twitter.
Yes, so now if you're in there, you'll be expected to have taken a shot of that, huh, and put it on social media.
Did you quote him?
No.
I mean, Adam, you didn't do it. But I mean, you just
sure.
you didn't have to ask. Is that off? Pat Dye was my favorite coach because he once told me, I called him about something about Bill Curry. And he said, I told you, coach, this is on the record. He said, that's not on the record. I said, no, I said, he said, you just knew not to do it. And you knew when, I mean, you had to decide for yourself.
Well, I think what I would do is if I'm just talking to somebody, and a coach, and I didn't have that many opportunities. I mean, a lot of those coaches don't want to, and they even less now, talk to the media. But when I was in that situation, I'd say, coach, I'd like to quote you on
right.
that.
Yeah, it flipped in the time of electronic media because now it's assumed everything is on the record until we say otherwise.
Right.
I think then it was everything's off the record until
yes.
we pronounce it.
There's
the
guy who spent the summer going through Jeremy Pruitt's text messages.
Yeah, those are all on the record.
Guys, if they ever teach a class at UT and at the communication school about how not to do an interview, this will be shown. But I had a blast talking to both of you about the good old days. I truly did.
Well, it's fun. You've got a lot of stories. You've got more stories than I have. And like you say, I bet you do wish if you could have recorded everything with Bear Bryant. But again, you might not have been able to
hear. The Bryant book will be out for Christmas, The Stories I've Never Told.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.